So here we are at the threshold of a brand new year. We stand at the front end of 2017, and maybe you are glad to see 2016 go. You're glad to see it in the rearview mirror, and maybe you had a great 2016, but either way, 2017 is in the headlights, and here we are. And it's a good opportunity. It's an opportunity, always an opportunity and a privilege to serve the Lord in a brand new year. So how should we begin the new year? What's a good way from Scripture? What's a good way to get ourselves ready for a new year? It is, in my view, one of the best things we can do is to get our perspective where God wants it, to see things God's way, to have God's perspective going into the new year. Because it's so easy to get away from God's perspective and to let what we see happening here and now be the only perspective that informs us and controls us and concerns us is just what's happening here, instead of looking to the Lord for His perspective and what keeps us solid in Him through the year. That's what I want to consider this morning. This past November, a man named Jim Delegati passed away. Now, that may not be a name you're familiar with, but Jim Delegati was highly influential in the business world in the United States of America. In fact, he did one of the most innovative things ever done in business. In 1967, Mr. Delegati owned several fast food burger restaurants in his native state of Pennsylvania. But in 1967, his restaurants were competing against Burger King with their Whopper, the Big Boy. You remember the Big Boy sandwich? There was a lot of competition. And Mr. Delegati said, we've got to have something in our restaurants that will compete with Burger King and Big Boy and these others that have the big burgers. So he went to the leadership of the franchise, the parent company, and he pitched to them an idea for a burger. He said, this is what it needs to be. This is what it ought to look like. And they didn't like it a bit. They said, that'll never sell. You're wrong. The competition's not that big, and we don't need that. So he kept going back. He refined his idea until finally they said, yeah, okay, we'll get that. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to start this burger in your restaurants and see how it goes. So on April 22nd, 1967, Jim Delegati introduced the Big Mac in his McDonald's restaurants in Pennsylvania. In 1 year, the Big Mac was being sold in every McDonald's restaurant throughout the United States of America. In 2 years, the Big Mac accounted for 20% of the sales of every McDonald's restaurant in the United States. Did you know last year, McDonald's sold around 550 million Big Macs just in the United States? There's a lot of unhealthy people out there. You know what? Now, like I said, Mr. Delegati passed away this past November. And in his lifetime, when people found out that he was the innovator, he was basically the inventor of the Big Mac, they would often say, wow, you must have had quite a windfall. What money, what residuals you must get from the Big Mac. And he said, nope, I was never paid a penny for my idea. Instead, he says, I got a plaque. A plaque that still hangs in his home that says he was the one that came up with the idea for the Big Mac. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? We tend to go after what brings accolades in this world, what brings fame in this world. We think, wouldn't it be great to come up with that one big idea that would change my life and make all the money I need and put my name on the plaque and put my name in the history books? That's what we tend to chase. But we forget this world is fleeting and really means nothing in the long run. What matters are the matters of eternity. That's why we need God's perspective from Scripture on what matters most. You may be starting 2017 burdened, struggling with heartache, or you may be starting 2017 rejoicing. You had a great last year. Whatever your emotions, whatever your position, whatever your circumstances, we all need God's perspective. We all need God's perspective. If you have your Bible with you, find the New Testament book of 2 Thessalonians. Paul's letter to Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians, And then chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. The passage we're going to read follows a discussion from the Apostle Paul in which he answers a question from the young believers about the Antichrist. That is, the personification of evil, the one who would be Satan's future tool and leader and who would persecute Christians worldwide, the Antichrist. He gives a brief overview of the Antichrist, and as you can imagine reading that, a lot of believers would leave the page pessimistic. They would say, wow, you know, what are we going to do? This is terrible. And basically he is saying there are terrible times that lie ahead, if not for his generation of believers, then for believers to come. So having said that, Paul says, however, we must keep things in perspective. No matter how bad it is now or how bad it may become, no matter what 2016 or 2017 looks like, keep it in perspective. Make sure we understand what matters most, what God wants us to always remember. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 13. Paul says, but, that is, having said everything I just said about the Antichrist, but we must always thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, either by our message or by our letter. That one little word, but, turns the corner to Paul saying, never forget these things. Even though I have said that there are difficult times that lie ahead for you, always remember, always keep perspective of what God says matters most. Elsewhere, Paul would write, set your mind on the things above and not on the things on earth. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. If you want to think rightly about your life, don't take your cues from your circumstances. Take your cues from God. Because God sees your life from an eternal point of view. God sees your life from an eternal perspective. In order for you and I to live as God wants us to live, to keep things in perspective, we need to set our minds on the things above. That's what we're going to do this morning. For just a few minutes, we're going to consider what Paul says in this passage that gives us that eternal perspective, that helps us set our minds on the things above. These are the things God wants us to remember as we go into 2017. First of all, for example, be grateful. Be grateful. God saved you. Be grateful. God saved you. You know, no matter how bad your circumstances are, no matter how difficult 2017 looks, if you were sitting in this room this morning and you know without a doubt that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a home in heaven. As the Apostle Paul would write elsewhere, you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Right now, even though you're living your life here, God has positioned you in glory. Be grateful, because nothing in this world can change that. Nothing in this world can change that, hinder that, or hamper that when you are saved. Paul begins that way. He says, we must always thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit, through belief in the truth. Notice how he characterizes their salvation. First, he says that we must always thank God for your salvation. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you thanked God for someone else's salvation? Yeah. When was the last time you thanked God for someone else's salvation? Maybe you looked across the room one Sunday and you saw someone in church and you thought, well, I used to like this church till they showed up. But Paul would say, I hope everybody shows up. I hope everybody gets saved, because we must always thank God and praise God for everyone's salvation. You know why? Because if you're saved, that means I'm saved. Because I got saved the same way you got saved. And I get to participate in your salvation, and you get to participate in my salvation and my growth in Christ. We're part of this project together. And if we both know that we're saved, we're living for Christ now. Praise God, you're saved. Thank God, I'm saved. Let's celebrate it together. Doesn't that put things in perspective? And Paul characterizes it this way. He says, God chose you for sanctification. God chose you for and through sanctification and through belief in the truth and his truth. What's he talking about? That when you came to Christ, it was because God had been pursuing you. Now, you made a decision for Christ. We'll see that next. You made a decision for Christ because as God chose you, God also called you. And whenever you're called, you've got to answer. But to say God chose you means that God pursued you to save you. Why? Did you see what he told the young believers? Because God loves you. God loved you, brothers. God chased you down. He loves you so much. And if you're not saved, you know what? God is still chasing you because he loves you that much. No matter how lousy 2016 has been, no matter if you're worried about 2017 or even tomorrow, praise God, you're saved. That keeps everything else in perspective. Because if there's anything we can thank God for, anything at all, it's always that by his grace, he saved us. We thank God for our salvation because we didn't have to work for it, because we couldn't work for it. We didn't have to be good enough for it. We thank God for our salvation because by his grace, he chose you, he chose us, he came to us in Christ, and when we realized our need for Christ, we trusted Jesus Christ. It's by the grace of God we are saved. We are grateful for his salvation and always must remember what he has done for us. A native of Louisiana, a man named Ortha Anders, spent 45 years collecting pennies. Whenever he would see a penny on the street or on the sidewalk or on the carpet at work, wherever he'd see a penny, he would bend down and pick up that penny. For 45 years, Mr. Anders collected pennies. And 2 years ago, at the age of 73, he decided it was time to turn those pennies in, find out how much he had collected. He'd been putting them in 5-gallon buckets for 45 years. He now had 15 5-gallon buckets of pennies. So he took his 75 gallons of pennies to the bank. It took the bank 5 hours to count all those pennies on their counting machine, $5,136.14 in pennies. Now, Mr. Anders clearly is a thrifty fellow and knows how to save money. But that's not why he did it. When asked why he collected pennies, every time he would see a penny, why he would pick up that penny, not pass it by for 45 years, he said this, "I became convinced that spotting a lost or dropped penny was an additional God-given incentive reminding me to always be thankful." To always be thankful. He said, "Every time I saw a penny and bent down to pick it up, I thanked God. Not just for the penny, but for my life, for God's love, for whatever came to mind." And he said, if I hadn't prayed that day, whenever I'd see a penny, God would remind me, pray and start by thanking me today. No matter what you go through, whatever trial or struggle you're facing, you can always be grateful. God saved you. God saved you. Let that trial, let that struggle, let that relationship be a reminder to thank God. He saved you. He loves you that much that he saved you. Not only be grateful, but be hopeful. Second, be hopeful. Why? Because God called you. Always remember, keep that perspective. God called you. Look at verse 14. He called you to this through our gospel so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When God saved you from God's side toward you, God chose you. From your side toward God, he called you, so you answered, you responded. That's how you were saved. When you trusted Jesus Christ, you answered the call of God to come to Christ, to repent of your sins, to be saved, and to come to Christ. And Paul recognizes it in that phrase, God called you. He called you, and then he said, to this. That is, he called you for a purpose. He called you for a target through our gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the message of salvation, and there is no other. And Paul says, we got to participate in that. We were doing the preaching when you got saved, Paul says to them. We got to participate in the calling of God. He uses the gospel to call people. And understand, God doesn't call people any other way to salvation but through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether it's Paul preaching, whether it's me preaching, whether it's you sharing the gospel with your neighbor or your friend, that's how God calls people to Christ. And that's how people respond to Christ. So Paul celebrates. God called you to this salvation, to that moment through our gospel. We got to be there. We got to do the preaching. Then he says there was a reason for it. There's a purpose behind it. So that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We often think of salvation only from our perspective. I want to be saved so I am forgiven and have a home in heaven. I want to be saved because God has shown me I'm a sinner. And apart from Christ, I have no hope in this world, as the Bible says. From God's perspective, it's so he can let you participate in the great things of God. He wants you to have that relationship he's always wanted you to have, the relationship he created you to have with him, which you can have through Jesus Christ. And that relationship leads to you obtaining or participating in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Paul mean by the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it you get to participate in? It's everything about the gospel of Jesus Christ that's fulfilled in the life of Christ. You get to participate in the glory of Christ when he died for your sins because you accept him as your Savior, when he rose from the grave because you accept eternal life through Jesus Christ and he gives that to you. That's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through him and only through him, God brought the gospel to you. God brought his salvation to you. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ includes the fact that right now he intervenes for you and intercedes for you. It includes that one day he will return. It includes that one day we'll be a part of a brand new kingdom. It's all part of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the Heavenly Father glorifies himself. He points all the fingers at Christ. He says, all my work is done through Christ. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you get to participate in the purposes of God through Jesus Christ. That's how the world has changed. That's how your life has changed. That's how 2017 will be changed. Because you're participating in the great things of God, in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. We look at our lives, look at 2017, we look at the circumstances, and it narrows our vision so much, doesn't it? It narrows our perspective so much. All we see is what's happening right here and now. And maybe what's happening right here and now is our financial problems, our relationship problems, our child-rearing problems, our work problems. The list could go on and on. That's what's happening right here and now. What we're feeling, what we're going through, our heartache, our trials, our difficulties, that's a very narrow perspective. God says, step back and set your mind on the things above and look at God's eternal point of view, because God's eternal point of view is that you now walk with Jesus Christ. Your life is now hidden with God in Christ. So you get to participate in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ because you are saved. You have hope for 2017 because you're a follower of Christ. You have hope for eternity because you're a follower of Christ. Not because you're good, because Jesus saved you. And you answered his call when he called you. Be hopeful. Be hopeful. Whatever this world looks like right now, hey, be hopeful. You follow Christ. You serve Christ. You get to participate in the great things of God through Jesus Christ. The number one motion picture at Christmas this year, Rogue One, Star Wars story. Did you see it? Okay, well, anyway, don't get all excited about it. There's a scene in the film, and I can't explain the Star Wars narrative to you. If you're not familiar with it, just don't worry about it. But there's a scene in the film in which the main character and she's gradually becoming part of the rebellion. This is the major theme of the Star Wars films, is the rebellion. She's gradually becoming part of the rebellion, gradually warming to it. She didn't want to be part of it at first, but she's gradually moving toward it. And there's a scene in the film, the pivotal scene in the film, is when everything has gone wrong for the rebellion. And all the leadership has circled around the table in the situation room, all the military leaders, all the politicians, and they have all given up. They all decide at that moment that they have failed, that the empire has won, the rebellion is over, and they say there is no hope. There is no hope. And the main character steps up, and in the moment she gives her grand speech, but the core of the grand speech is simply this statement. Rebellions, she says, rebellions are built on hope. Hope in Jesus Christ is what will change the world. The Bible says you get to participate in the gospel and the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ because he called you and you responded and he saved you. And now, though you're living here, your citizenship is in heaven. So live for Christ. Be hopeful. God wants to do a lot through you in 2017. God wants to show himself to you in 2017. God wants to do great works with you and through you in 2017. Be hopeful. God called you. Look ahead and look up. Then last, Paul reminds us, keep this perspective too. Be faithful. Be faithful because God needs you. Be faithful because God needs you. Look at verse 15. Therefore, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, either by our message or by our letter. Because you were called, because you're saved, stand firm and hold tight, Paul says. Stand firm and hold to the traditions. Now, by traditions, Paul doesn't mean the traditions of men, the way we like things to be. Paul doesn't mean no matter what you do, don't ever change church time from 11 o'clock. That's not what Paul means. He doesn't mean don't ever change anything that are traditions of men. What he is referring to are the traditions, the heritage of our faith, the things we just sing about, the things that make us believers in Christ. These are the traditions passed down from generation to generation, believer to believer, family to family, church to church. That's what makes us believers. And Paul says, hold fast to the truth, stand firm in the truth, and hold tight to those traditions. Because that's who we are. That's who we are. Maintain the perspective that God has service for you here and now. And that service is to stand firm in the Word of God, to stand firm for the truth and hold tight to what generations of believers have held tightly to, the doctrines of our faith, the truth of our faith, what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a church. Because we will feel the pressure all around us this year, won't we? The world is changing constantly. The world changes all around us. We have a new governor of our state. We're about to have a new president of the United States. We claim people are friends that we have never seen. We claim morality. The only true morality is there is no morality. That's what our world says. Things change rapidly. But our God does not change. The truth does not change. God needs you and God needs me to remember to keep this perspective. We have work to do. We stand firm on the Word of God and the truth of God no matter what's happening around us. This is the truth. The Bible is the truth. The church is the truth. And as the gospel is the truth, hold tight to those traditions. Stand firm in the faith. You'll be pressed from every side. But don't give up. Instead, look up. Look up. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on this earth. Because God has you here for a reason. 2017, you don't know what's coming, but God does. Your God and God's Word have not changed. Stand firm. Stand firm. 300 years ago, the first lighthouse in the United States was constructed to point a beam off the coast of Michigan. It's still there. It's called the Boston Light. It's the oldest lighthouse in the United States, constructed in 1716. In 1776, it came under fire during the Revolutionary War. It was blown up, then rebuilt, still on the same site, still pointing its light out into the waters, out into the ocean, beckoning mariners home and showing them the way. A lot has changed in those 300 years. The original light for the lighthouse was actually a chandelier. which experts say would not even be seen now over the water because of the lights of the city that are all around it. So a lot's changed in 300 years. But one thing that hasn't changed is there's a lighthouse keeper. The lighthouse keeper today is Sally Snowman. Sally's the only woman to ever be the lighthouse keeper for the Boston Light. She maintains that 300-year-old lighthouse faithfully. Her job's a little bit different now. She doesn't actually have to turn the light on and off. She only turns it off when she cleans the lenses, and she's the only person in the United States of America permitted to clean the lenses of the Boston Light. Then she turns the light back on. Her job now is to orchestrate and organize about 37 volunteers who help out at the Boston Light to keep the grounds clean and to make sure the stairs are accessible and to give tours. That's what she does now at the Boston Light. Does she look at her job with all these changes, the way culture's changed, the way the lights changed, the way the lighthouse management job has changed, the lightkeepers, does she look at it as it's not that important to be a lightkeeper? No, not at all. Not long ago, Ms. Snowman was interviewed about her job at the 300th anniversary of the Boston Light. And she said, oh, this is how I look at it. I stand in the heritage of lightkeepers of the Boston Light. It is my privilege to be a lightkeeper. For 300 years, this light has shone across the harbor and called mariners home. What a privilege it is, she said, to be a part of the heritage of the lightkeepers. Stand firm. Hold tight. This is what we do. We are the keepers of the gospel. And our generation depends on us to be faithful. It's a privilege to do it. And 2017 is your year. Stand firm, hold tight, and serve Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, there may be one or two in this room this morning who need Christ as their Savior. Nothing else matters but that this morning. For them, nothing else matters. So I pray, God, today they'd respond to the gospel, to the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. If there's just one here who needs Christ, I pray they trust him today. Father, believers in this room also need to respond, God. Perhaps we have gone with the whims of the world. We haven't stood firm for you. So God, help us to make that commitment here on the front end of a brand new year, God. May we commit to stand firm and to hold tight. May we celebrate our salvation, always be grateful for what you've done in us, and always hopeful for what lies ahead. Father, work in our hearts this morning that we would respond to you as you desire. I pray, Father, for those who need to join fellowship with this church, that we would do that as well. Those who need to make fresh commitments, rededications, God, that we would do that today. Those whose lives just need your prayer, God. Those who need to unburden themselves to you, Father. I pray we'd bring all that to you today. So God, bless us in this time of response, Father, that we would respond to Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Stand with me as we sing together. Would your response to the Lord this morning be yes? God, whatever you want of me, whatever you desire of me, whatever you want to do in my life, God, I want to yield to you. My response to you is yes. Would that